Yeah. Good morning, everybody. I figured that I'd preach from up here this morning. Is that okay? I'm just kidding. Hey, just for something different. Hey, thanks for being here today. If you want to open up your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4, that's where we're going to be, Ephesians chapter 4. And once again, thank you for your faithfulness. We had so many people. Wow, there's a lot of people down here too. Woo, wow. We had so many people here last week. We brought in about 50 more chairs this week to make sure that we had plenty of seating. So thank you once again for your faithfulness this morning. In Ephesians chapter 4, where I'm going to be specifically is in verse number 7 through 14. And the passage led me to this title that I've came up with, and that is a healthy root produces good fruits. On the screen, what I want to show you is this. I want to show you a picture to start off with. And this picture is a picture of the great seal of our country, the United States of America. And along the ribbon of the great seal, we have this phrase called E Pluribus Unum. And I want to talk about that just for a moment. Now, that phrase was the unofficial motto of our country up until 1956, when the official motto of our country became these four words, "In God we trust," right? And even though "In God we trust" took over as the official motto of our country, that phrase, E Pluribus Unum, still appears on various things, such as the Great Seal, other government documents, currencies, and so on and so forth. And that phrase literally means this. It means in English, it's a Latin phrase in English, which means out of many, one. And that phrase pictures the United States. The United States as a melting pot. It describes our nation as one nation made up of different individuals. While there's diversity among the people that make up our country, the United States of America, at the end of the day, we're all still Americans. Regardless of the country of our origin, regardless of the color of our skin, the type of politics that we embrace, the issues, social issues that we take various stances on, we are still one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. The United States is a unity, but it's made possible and also in spite of the great diversity that we have. And I want you to see out of this phrase, out of many, one could also be applied to us, the church. For instance, we are all part of the same body as believers. We're all part of the body of Christ. We are all indwelled by the same Spirit, the Holy Spirit. We all share the same hope. We all have the same Lord. We have the same faith. We've experienced the same baptism, the Holy Spirit baptism in us. We are all children of the same Heavenly Father, and one day we are all headed to the same heavenly home. Amen? But here in verse number 7 in Ephesians chapter 4, if you can look at it with me, what I want to point out to you is the very first word. And the very first word in verse number 7 is the word but. The word but in this verse literally means in spite of or on the other hand. And the context is this. The context or the idea is that while we might be united in Jesus, we are still expected to be different people. Different people. Now, for instance, I'm not talking about diversity of doctrine of what we believe, because the Bible says in Romans chapter 16, 17, that if you encounter someone that is teaching something contrary to the doctrine that you've learned, you need to avoid them. I'm talking about differences that we have as individuals, which are okay to have. You know, we have one of the largest churches in this area. And with a church this size, you can imagine we have a lot of different tastes. There's different tastes in music. Maybe there's different tastes in food. For instance, by a show of hands here this morning on this cool winter morning in Florida, boy, it's nice to have a full church because it makes it a little bit warmer in here, huh? By a show of hands, how many of you in here like to eat Spam? God help you, people. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. We all have different tastes. How many of you love to eat fish? Look at that. How many of you love strawberry ice cream? Chocolate ice cream? Any kind of ice cream? See, just by those questions, you can see that we are a church that is hopelessly divided. We are divided as a church, a congregation divided. But what are we divided over? Not Jesus. You see, we're divided over things that really don't make a big difference. But we're also divided as a church in a different way, but it's in a good way. We're divided over what types of talents and gifts and abilities that we have. And that's what this passage talks about today. We're all different. We're just different. You know, and my wife, Kathy, she's a girl, and I'm a boy. And I'm glad she's not like me. Hubba hubba. Hubba hubba. Elijah's out of town this weekend. I'm just kidding. Just kidding. But he's probably watching online. So, yes. Hey, I'm glad Kathy is not like me, because Kathy has gifts that have been given to her by God that he didn't give me. And God's given me gifts he didn't give her. And God's given our son Elijah, who you all know, gifts that he didn't give either one of us. And God probably gave you gifts that he didn't give your spouse. He probably gave you gifts that he didn't give your kids or your friends and so forth. And I'm so glad everyone's not like me. If everybody was like me, this place would fall apart. I have my strengths in the things that I can do, but I also have weaknesses in the things I'm not good at. We're talking about Walk Through Bethlehem. For instance, in Walk Through Bethlehem, you didn't see me baking cookies. You didn't see me sewing costumes. You did not see me building the city. I was out there acting like I knew what I was doing, but I really had no clue. I was just an extra pair of hands. But, you know, but that's what makes the body of Christ so special, is because there are people that do those things and can do those things and can do those things well. It's when we all use our own unique gifts and talents to serve the Lord. That's when that happens. And my heart just leaps for joy out of my chest whenever a member of our church discovers and they develop and they use their gifts for the Lord. Man, that thrills a pastor's heart to see a person using their gifts to serve Jesus. I want you to see here in this passage that although you as a believer are a member of the body of Christ, you are still an individual that is special. And God wants you to use your uniqueness to serve the body of Christ, so that way you, as well as others, can fulfill their greatest potential for the Lord Jesus Christ. It starts with a healthy root. A healthy root produces good fruit. On your handout this morning, we have some verses and statements. If you want to follow along and to fill in the blank, you are welcome to do that. We usually provide, in case you didn't bring one, pens in a lot of the slots in front of you. But first of all, as we talk about the root, the first statement in your handout says this. It says, the fruit of our labor is a result of the root. The root is found in the work of God in our lives. In verse number 7, the Bible says this. But grace was given to each one of us, or every one of us, according to the measure of the gift of Christ. So that root, that fruit that we have that results as an evidence of the root in our life, that work of God in our life, that occurs essentially because of three things that I want to talk about in this passage. The first part of that root occurs because of the grace of God in your life. Letter A, the grace of God. Now, the word grace is a common word that's used throughout the New Testament. The word grace means the undeserved favor that we've received. We also think of grace when it's used, such as in Ephesians 2:8, when it refers to salvation. It says you are saved by grace through faith. But here in this verse, when it talks about the grace of God, it doesn't refer to salvation. It refers to this. It refers to the fact that God has gifted us for service. So when the Bible says in verse number 7 this, once again, look at it with me, when it says that grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of the gift of Christ, it simply means this. Jesus is the head of the church, the head of the body of Christ, and he has given each one of us, or every one of us, some gifts or more than one gift. So here's the process. I have it in your notes to follow along because I thought it was so important. It's also on the screen. It says when he saves a soul, the Lord Jesus takes up residence in the new believer through the person of his Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit comes into a life, one of the ministries he performs is to give the new believer one or more spiritual gifts. And these gifts determine the believer's place in the body and how that believer will ultimately serve the Lord. So simply put, when he saved you, he gave you gifts. You might have the same gifts as someone else in this room, another believer. For instance, you might have the gift of hospitality. Maybe you might have the gift of showing mercy, empathy. That's a gift of the heart. Maybe you might have the gift in the Bible that's called helps, where you have that ability to work with your hands and fix things and build things. You know, you might have gifts like that, but the way that the Lord uses you to exercise those gifts will be unique to just you. And what I mean by that is this. You might have the gift of teaching, and as a teacher, you might be able to use that gift to teach children in Sunday school, while someone else might stand and they might teach before hundreds of people. Either way, both people are laboring in the Lord, and when they are yielded to the Lord, they will produce fruit. Again, because they're yielding to the grace of God in their life. The Apostle Paul was, of course, the apostle to the Gentiles through whom Jesus formed the body of Christ. And he wrote these words. He said, "But by the grace of God," that we're talking about this morning, "I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored," Paul said, I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but it was the grace of God. That's what was with me. We all need to discover, we need to develop, and we need to use our gifts. And by the way, the best way to find what your spiritual gift is to get involved in the local assembly of believers like this. Get busy serving the Lord, even if it's just once a month, for 1 hour. We are uniquely equipped by Jesus for service unto him, by his grace. So that work of God occurs in our lives because of the grace of God, but also it's a gift of Christ. Letter B, the gift of Christ. If you continue to look with me in verse number 8, it says, when he, speaking of Jesus, ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts to men, in saying he ascended. What does it mean but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is also he who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. I personally believe that this passage refers to Jesus' death and resurrection. After Jesus died, as we know, he was placed in a tomb. He descended into the lower parts of the earth. The Bible says that he didn't raise from the dead until the third day. So what happened in that interim period? The Bible tells us and gives us passages like this that indicate that he descended to the lower parts of the earth, which housed two compartments of people, according to Luke chapter 16. One compartment comprised of hell, those that rejected God. And the other compartment was known as Abraham's bosom for believers. And sometime before that third day, when Jesus showed himself to be alive, he descended to those lower parts of the earth to proclaim that he had defeated death. He had got the victory over sin and death. And then he led those precious souls out of Abraham's bosom and took them to the Father's home. In verse number 8, as you can look with me one more time, I want you to see this at the end of verse number 8. It says, he led captivity captive and he gave gifts unto men. So when Jesus was leaving this earth, he needed his work to continue. And in order for his work needed to continue through people, through us. He was no longer going to be here in the flesh as an evangelist, as a preacher, as a teacher. He was no longer going to be serving, administrating, showing mercy, encouraging, giving. Christ was no longer going to be on this earth to do those things. So the Bible says he gave gifts unto men, unto people, unto the body of Christ, unto us, unto those that would be living generation after generation after generation after Jesus. Why? To carry on his ministry. Do you see that this morning? These people are us. This is our calling. I want you to see, I don't know what gift you've been given, but I want you to know that every one of the gifts you have received, according to this, is the gift of Christ to you. To you. And then letter C says the gifts that are given to us. Our diversity is seen in the gifts that Paul mentions here in verse number 11. If you can look at it with me, verse 11, it says, he gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And by the way, this is just a small list of spiritual gifts. There's more lists and more gifts that are mentioned in other parts of the Bible, like 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12, 1 Peter 4. But here are mentioned just a few gifts. We have apostles, we have prophets, and evangelists. You know, apostles were ambassadors. They were sent out with credentials in order to be representatives for Jesus. We also have the prophets here who received direct revelation from God and basically were God's mouthpiece in that day. And there's no new revelation today. Everything that we know and everything that we will know in the future occurs right here in the pages of the Bible. So today we don't have prophets, we have preachers. Evangelists, those are the individuals that are exceptionally gifted in sharing their faith. And many people today have that gift. But those of us that don't have that gift, we still should be telling others about Jesus. We should still be sharing the gospel. We should be sharing our story. We should be giving our testimony. But maybe that comes easier to you than others. That might be one of your spiritual gifts. And it talks about pastors. It talks about teachers. Pastor means shepherd. It speaks about one who tends to the needs of the flock. It speaks about the man who has the care of the people of God as the driving force of his life. And as a pastor, I can relate to that. This is not just a job to me. It's not a Monday through Friday, 9-to-5 job. This is my life. And I live to care for you. I live to pray for you. I live to teach you to the Word of God so that you might learn it and you might live it. That's my life. Teachers in this passage here speaks about those that feed the people of God, whether it's to a large congregation or if it's those just in a small classroom. You see, there are many gifts that are given by the Lord Jesus Christ. And maybe your gift is on this list, maybe it's not on this list, and it's in one of those other passages I referred to. But the fact of the matter is still this. When God saved you, he gifted you, and he gave you at least one spiritual gift. He probably gave you more than one, and he gave them to you so that you could serve him and you could be a blessing to others. Amen? I challenge you to find your gift, if you haven't already, and put it to use for Christ. Every gift is needed. I want you to think about this. If your gift wasn't needed, it would not have been given. If he has given you a gift, he will give you the means to use it. Paul, the Apostle Paul, likened the body of Christ, the spiritual body of Christ, the church, to a physical body. And on the screen, I have a picture of my grandfather, and a great man. He served his country And during the course of his life, he lost an eye and also incurred some other injuries, I'm sure. But I have a question for you. Could his body still function with just one eye and other physical issues? Yes or no? Yes, of course. Yes. But our bodies work best when we have all the parts and when all the parts are doing their job. Man, don't you hate it when you've been sitting for a while and you get up and your foot's asleep and you start walking and you're doing this and people are looking at you funny and like, what is wrong with him? And the reason why is our foot is not cooperating with the rest of our body. And we're like, wake up, wake up, wake up. You know, we need our foot to cooperate with the rest of our body. We need all of our physical body parts to be doing their job. The Apostle Paul worded it this way. He gave some great examples. And Paul said, for instance, he asked the question. He said, if every member of your body was an ear, who would do the same? He said, if every member of your body were hands, who would do the walking? Right. All the members of our physical body are needed, just like every part of the body of Christ is needed. And when we yield to the root of what God is trying to do in us through the grace of God, through the gift of Christ that he's given you, that will produce fruit in our lives and will produce fruit in the lives of those around us. You might say, Pastor Rich, what kind of fruit gets produced? Well, it tells us right here in the Word of God. Three things. Look with me at verse number 12. He says, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, and for the building up of the body of Christ. Yielding to the root results in these three things. On the back of your handout, it results first in the strengthening of the body. Paul says the equipping of the saints. And it simply means that God has placed the various members in his body to help others of the body achieve their fullest potential in Christ. And not only is it going to bring glory to God, but it's going to benefit us. It will help you. It'll help you in your life. And as you rely on him, you will become internally strong, and we all need that. When I do my part as your pastor and I teach you the Word of God and you do your part and you learn and obey the Word of God, the church becomes what Jesus intended it to be, for us to work together to see people come to faith in Christ and grow in their relationship with God. The church becomes stronger. He gave us different gifts so that way you can benefit from how he's gifted others and how others can benefit from how he has gifted you. That's how it works. Yielding to the root will result in the strengthening of the body, but letter B, it'll result in the service to the body. Paul says that these gifts were given to us for the equipping of the saints, but he also says for the work of service. He's telling us what we're supposed to do after we've received the developing and the training and equipping that we gain. So no matter how talented a person is, there's no way one person or even a few people can effectively do everything that needs to be done in the local church. No one is that gifted, and no one has that much time. But when each member becomes involved in the work of the Lord, great things happen, like Walk Through Bethlehem. We saw examples of that. Great things happen in our ministries here, week in and week out. So lastly, when we yield to the root, it produces fruit. It strengthens the body. It's service to the body. And then letter C, the spiritual results in the spiritual maturity of the body. Look with me lastly at verse number 12. He says, once again, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, and for the building up of the body of Christ, until we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, into a complete man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Paul tells us, and he pictures here, us growing in spiritual maturity. And when that happens, it's more about, it's more than the church just professing Jesus, but it's about the church projecting Jesus. Let me say that one more time. When we grow in spiritual maturity, it becomes more than us professing Jesus, but about us projecting Jesus. Does that make sense? People start seeing us and they see Christ in us. And that's what we want to do. We want to become more like Jesus. And when we do that, when we serve in a manner in which God has gifted us to serve, we'll grow spiritually. And we will leave a more Christ-like footprint in this world. Every one of us is different in so many ways. But we're brought together as one in Christ. E pluribus unus. Out of many, one. God's called us. God saved us. God's indwelled us. God's gifted us individually, uniquely. And he put us together in such a way that we can be a blessing to the whole body of Christ, even outside of those of the body of Christ. I thank God that you are not like me. And I thank God that I'm not like you. And I praise him for the diversity that we can enjoy in Jesus, because our differences help us to serve him and serve one another. Amen? Amen. Amen. A healthy root is based on the grace of God. It's based on the gift of Christ. And it will produce good fruit if you yield to it. That's my prayer for you this morning. With your heads bowed and with your eyes closed, in an attitude of prayer here this morning, I want to close this message today by inviting you. If you're not saved, I invite you to come to Jesus. He will save you. He will gift you. Come and talk to us after the service. It is not unusual for people to come to faith in Jesus Christ here in church on Sunday morning. Just last Sunday, we had three individuals that prayed to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior on Sunday. If you're here this morning and you say, Pastor Rich, I am already saved, praise the Lord for that. But maybe you're unsure of what your spiritual gift is. If you know what God has gifted you to do and you haven't been doing it, I encourage you, I challenge you to start getting busy serving the Lord for his glory. Every Sunday, we have those cards that are in front of you, and I encourage you to pull one of those serving cards out. Look over it, pray about it, and take action. Get involved in what God is doing and be a part of that difference that God can make in your life as he's working in and through you to minister to others. Lord Jesus, that's my prayer here this morning, that each body that's in this body of Christ, Lord, would be fully yielded to the grace of God that is in us. We would recognize the gift of Christ that's been bestowed upon us, that we could say, just like the Apostle Paul, I am what I am because of the grace of God. And that gift that you've given us, you didn't give us in vain. But because of that gift, we have labored for your honor and for your glory. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And as Cody mentioned, we're going to wrap up the service today. We're not going to do a closing song, but we're going to do a closing video that does have some music to it. I saw this video earlier this week, and it just brought tears to my eyes, reflecting on our church family. And again, in just the incredible way that you came together in order to do this ministry and the result of it, which you'll see in the video. God bless you. Have a great week.
Dear Jesus, we love you so much. Thank you so much for Walk Through Bethlehem, for the blessing it was for our community, Lord, for how you used it and how you worked through us and our church. I thank you just for your goodness to us and your grace that you've given to us. I thank you that we could be a light to our community and share that with others. I pray for us as we go now. Please bless everyone. Bless us as we all go our separate ways. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.